I'd like to invite you once again to turn in your Bibles to today's New Testament reading and focus passage, which is Philippians chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 4 through 9. And once again, I'd invite you to follow along, or you can simply listen as I read these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Larry Crabb, the psychologist Larry Crabb in The Pressure's Off, told the story of when he was a child and locked himself in the bathroom. In fact, I'm guessing that some of you maybe you remember a time like that, or at the very least, you may have children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews that have had this same experience. You're getting older. You can open and shut doors. You can use the potty on your own. And so, as he remembered a time when he was young, he headed into the bathroom, had the very same feeling, headed upstairs and went into the bathroom, shut the door, locked the door, took care of his business. Well, then he came to unlock the door after he had washed his hands and was ready to come out, and he realized he could not get the door unlocked. It's easy to lock a door, perhaps to push a button in, but then if you have to turn the knob, that's a little harder for someone who's got tiny hands and maybe can't get their whole hand around that particular doorknob. And so, of course, after he couldn't let himself out, he started to panic and started calling for his parents, saying, "Help, help me, help me, help me." And his mom rushed up the stairs from downstairs. She said, "What's wrong? Are you hurt? Did you break something?" And he said, "I cannot unlock the door." So, of course, she wasn't quite as worried. She knew he wasn't hurt. But he said, "I couldn't lock the door." And right at that moment, his dad busted in through the window. During that time, he had already run to the garage, gotten out a ladder, put it upside the house, and climbed up and went into the window. And he helped Larry out the door, unlocked the door, and let him out. And so Larry Crabb writes that this is his earliest association with, or perhaps way of understanding, prayer. He imagines being locked in a room and seeing a locked door and praying that God would open that locked door that we can't seem to get through, that we can't seem to get out of, that we can't seem to get into. But Crabb goes on to ask a very important question based on this association with prayer. He says, "I wonder, are any of us content with God? Do we even like God when he doesn't open the door that we most want opened?" He asks, "What about when a marriage doesn't heal? What about when rebellious kids still rebel? What about when friends betray friends, or when financial reverses threaten our comfortable way of life? When the prospect of terrorism looms, when health worsens despite much prayer, when loneliness intensifies and depression deepens, or when ministries die," he says, "are we still content with God? Is God still God, even if that door in front of us is not opened in the way that we desire?" The answer to that is why we gather in this place regularly to worship and to pray. We gather in this place to worship and throughout the course of the service to pray, not out of our current needs. We're talking these few weeks about why we regularly worship together, why we come to this place regularly. And we come to this place, if we are regularly worshiping together, we come to this place not necessarily out of current needs, although every time we enter these doors, there are, of course, circumstances in our life that we need to pray for. But we come into this place to pray no matter what our life circumstances are, because connecting with God on a regular basis is a part of the rhythm of life, or at least it should be. And entering this place to pray, whether things are going wonderfully in our lives or things seem like they can't get any worse, we gather in this place because it's what we should be doing regularly and because we wish to maintain a regular relationship with God. When we gather in this place, we pray in many ways. When we gather in this room, prayer takes many forms. Yes, petitioning will be part of our prayers, as we entered into earlier on in the service. We lifted up names of people we are praying for, who we're concerned about, situations around the world that we may be worried about. We lift our petitions to God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that, but when we gather in this place, prayer takes on a much larger meaning than simply asking God to do something for us. Because when we gather to pray here, we are praying and ascribing praise and honor to a holy God. When we gather here to pray regularly, we are also confessing our sins and shortcomings before God. And when we gather here regularly in worship to pray, we also give thanks for all that God does for us. And so today we're going to explore this notion of prayer, specifically talking about why we pray in this place and why we pray in the ways that we do here. And a good starting point is Paul's words in Philippians, where as Paul is talking to the Philippians or writing to the Philippians, he talks about prayer as nearness to God. He says that in prayer we can find hope, we can find joy, peace, protection, and wisdom, all of which are part of our lives. And so immediately Paul connects regular prayer and closeness with God as a part of a holistic, healthy, spiritual life. A 2014 Psychology Today study talked about five scientifically supported benefits of prayer. Five scientifically supported benefits of prayer. Those being that prayer improves self-control, that prayer makes you kinder, that prayer makes you more forgiving, that prayer increases trust, and prayer offsets negative health effects of stress. Now, this is obviously an important psychological study, regardless of your religion or confession or creed. But I think that if the Apostle Paul were alive today, he might look at this study and say to us Christians, "Duh, that's what I've been trying to tell you." In Paul's letter, he talks about prayer as a connection with God as a way of self-control. He talks about prayer as a connection with God as a way of producing kindness, gentleness, patience, fruits in our lives that come about because we are in regular relationship and contact with God through the Holy Spirit. He talks about prayer as leading to grace and unity in the church. He talks about prayer as bringing peace and comfort. So yes, I could enter into any church, any circumstance, and say prayer and meditation is good for you. Prayer and meditation has many scientifically proven life benefits. But I stand here today as your pastor, as a spiritual leader in this church, echoing the words of Paul, who saw life through his relationship with Christ, and saying, while the scientific study is very important, you should know first and foremost that as a Christian, prayer is necessary to living a more God-filled life. Prayer is necessary for you to live in the way that you are called by God. And this is despite the outcome of our direct petitions to God, which is probably for most of us, maybe comprises about 90% of our prayers. Asking God to change something, asking God perhaps to do something, to unlock a door, perhaps even to shut a door. Prayer is a necessary path to enjoying life in Christ. True joy and blessing is a result of regularly pursuing a relationship with God. And so once again, petition is absolutely part of prayer. But prayer also is just simply a content relationship with God, having that regular communication and comfort with both speaking to God and listening to God. And with this truth is the reality that sometimes we will be disappointed. Sometimes our particular prayers will not be answered as we hope. Sometimes we will go to God in prayer and offer those petitions and understand that we may ask for something very specific that will not pan out as we hope it should or think it should. But that's okay, because the larger point of prayer is that God hears us and that God is here. And God is doing something in your life, even if the results aren't quite as you had hoped. Even if not on our terms or exactly as we want to see things played out, God is here, not just here in this place today, but God is with you wherever you go. And that's what prayer regularly reminds us of. And so as we gather in this place regularly, weekly, for the sake of praying together and drawing near to God, we remain in prayer throughout this time. There's a constant sense of drawing closer to God while we are in this place. And so while we have specific prayers laid out in the service that we offer at various points, I hope that when you enter into this place, you are prepared to be in a state of prayer and meditation, that you are constantly seeking to be connected with God in this place, that you come in here as a person who brings all of your baggage, all of your distractions, and that you hand those to God in this place. Don't leave them at the door. That's one of the, I would call that a pet peeve saying for this pastor. Come into this church and leave your worries at the door. No, please don't do that. Bring them into this place and offer them to God in your prayers. We participate in regular forms of prayer here at First Baptist Church in this particular worship service, and it can vary across churches and denominations. But for instance, at the beginning of the service, we offer an invocation, acknowledgement that we are entering a sacred hour, an hour set apart, and that all of our focus and energy would be given to God. It begins the service with praise to our Creator for bringing us here and gathering us in this place. We also sometimes offer a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer that strives to keep us in rhythm of being thankful at all times for the blessings in our lives. We offer a prayer during the offertory. One of our deacons will come and pray, and it will ask God's blessings on the gifts that we are about to bring to the altar. We pray that God would use them in a way that brings glory to Him and that brings healing and the love of Christ to people locally and across the world. We also pray in this time that God would help us to manage our resources in a way that would be pleasing to Him. During the pastoral prayer, I often will, on behalf of the congregation, voice our shortcomings and our tendency to turn from God and to ask for God's grace and mercy in our lives, but also in the lives of others. We also ask for healing mercies for those who suffer. And yes, like today, we also voice our joys and our praises. And then finally, the benediction is asking God's Spirit to be with us as we go, praying that our closeness to God would remain a reality even as we leave this place. And so as we exit First Baptist Church and head to our meals or to our homes or to our football games or wherever we go, we pray that the Spirit, or that we would be in tune with God's Spirit as we go, that though we are leaving this sacred worship hour, we would know that God remains with us. These prayers are often or always marked in our service ahead of time. We do not pray these prayers as a reaction to a particular circumstance. We pray as a congregation. We pray these words because they are necessary to our Christian lives. We must always be asking God to be there with us, even though we know it. We must be asking God to help us be attentive to his presence. We must always be thanking God. We must always be asking God to bless our resources and that we would use them in a Christ-like manner. We are always praying to God that God would be with those who are in need. And we're always, always in a state of asking God to be with us as we enter the challenges of life. Our being and our call as a church here in Black Mountain, it extends beyond these walls. And so my challenge to you today as we reflect on prayer, it's a little different. I'm guessing that most of you pray. Some of you might say, well, I need to pray more often. And that's probably true of all of us. But I'm guessing that most of you pray. And so my challenge to you today is to remember that prayer is about intimacy with God. And prayer is about being close to God. And my challenge to you is to remember to pray not simply as a petition to ask God for something. To pray in a way where you are simply content with having a relationship with God. That God listens to our prayers, that God is intimate and that God is here with us and that God is not some far-off being who does not care about the affairs of our daily lives, but that God goes with you in every circumstance. It may be tempting for us in our most dire moments of life to only see God as a way out of a locked room. And trust me, I find myself in that situation plenty of times, where I envision God being on the other side of the door and just praying that God would open that door. I find myself there often. But perhaps before getting to that point, we should just simply learn to be content with the fact that God is always in the room with us. And though that particular door may not be opened or closed, what we can know is that God is sitting there with us, with his arm around us, saying, "Don't be afraid, I am with you." No matter what door opens, no matter what door shuts, God is sitting with us in that locked bathroom saying, "I am here with you." Philip Yancey, after years of struggling with prayer, what it is and how God is supposed to respond, wrote this. He said, "My perspective on prayer has changed as I understand prayer as a partnership, a subtle interplay of human and divine that accomplishes God's work on earth. God asks me to make myself known in prayer and then works my prayer into a master plan for my life, a plan that I can only faintly grasp." When we pray in this place, we may only have the faintest notion of what God is up to in our lives, whether as individuals or as a church family. We may not have the whole picture. We will still have questions of why. We will still ask God, perhaps every time we come into this place, "Why, God? Why does this happen? Why hasn't this happened?" But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have faith that God hears our prayers, and despite our limited vision, know that God is up to something in this church, in our lives, in Black Mountain, and across the world. We can have faith that God is up to something big. And so we will continue to pray and to sit with God in this place, even if that door is not opened or that door is shut. Even when the doors of our future seem locked and that they will never open, we will continue to pray. And we will remain with God because we know that God is always with us. And so it is up to us also to voice to him that we remain committed to his call in our lives. Let's make that our commitment and our call to pray this week, that we would be in touch with God. We would simply not ask God to open or shut a door for us, that we would be content with God and being intimate with him throughout our lives. Let's pray together.